Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shit. Hey, Kenny won! Hey!
I don't think he's gonna make it.
Hey, open up! Open up, please! Please, I gotta go, please! Please, open up!
Oh, man.
Somebody just got their brown belt.
Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 4, Underdogs.
Underdog.
Da-da-da-da.
Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Been a while.
Do you guys think of yourselves as underdogs?
Wow, that's a good question. I think I used to, but... not anymore. Now, yeah. My desire is to just blend into the background. So,
you can't be an underdog if you're not trying to do anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to have a goal, and then you're the underdog for the goal.
I remember I always used to root for the underdog.
Me too.
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
That's totally. Why I like Karate Kid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some underdogs. It's Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 4, Underdogs. Rima, do you want to read the synopsis?
Yeah, sure. So synopsis for this episode is, in order to determine the six fighters who will represent Miyagi-Do in the Sekai Taikai, Daniel and Johnny bring in Mike Barnes to shake down the dojo. Hawk, Robbie, Miguel, Sam, Tori, Mitch, Kenny, Nate, Chris, Dimitri, Devin, and Anthony are chosen by Barnes for the second round of eliminations. The next day, the top 12 engage in a battle royale where each student must rid another of their flags. Tori, Robbie, Sam, and Miguel immediately advance. Anthony doubts himself after receiving a bloody nose from Kenny. Johnny confronts Barnes upon learning Devin did not make the cut. The next morning, Barnes has Hawk, Dimitri, Devin, and Kenny run through the forest and capture two flags to determine the final lineup. Devin captures the first flag after Kenny suddenly experiences diarrhea while Dimitri defeats Hawk to make the team. Kenny accuses Anthony of spiking his water with Mitch's laxative when in reality it was Devin. Daniel suspects Johnny had a part in getting Devin in the lineup.
Yeah, that's true. Huh? I didn't think about it that way.
Yep.
I was just thinking maybe Anthony will... I was thinking, because it's talking about how he felt bad about getting a bloody nose, but he also felt bad because he got kicked out. He's not going to be in the final six. But I wonder if Daniel will take him anyway, just to take him along, and then somebody will get, you know, injured or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe, if not Anthony, somebody else.
Right. It's got to be a family LaRusso vacation. I mean, you can't just, I don't know. Can you just leave everybody else at home? Amanda's want to go. She's going to want to go, right?
There's no way I would let anybody go without me. So I would, I'd be like, yeah, we're turning this into a vacation, going to Barcelona. Are you kidding?
Hey, how about a prediction? Totally, I bet you they're going to go to the tournament. Everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. And then all the other kids are just going to show up. Hey, here we are. We jumped on the plane after.
That'd be great.
What'd you guys think of it?
That was pretty good. You know what? I was thinking about it and I was like super busy this week, so I only watched it once. And I think my thoughts are a little on the negative side about it. But I still liked it. I mean, by negative, I mean it was probably my least favorite episode of the last four, but that doesn't mean much. They're all still awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You
know, I don't know. It just felt like, I think if I would have watched it a second time, I would have maybe changed my mind. But the drama and the conflict in it just felt a little more forced than usual to me in this episode.
I think it's been a bit like that all season. It's been a little forced. And like, for example, Kreese deciding, because he had a vision in a cave, that he needs to go after Johnny, you know? And I think, it's fine, but it's a little forced. And I was thinking about it, and I think so far this is probably my least favorite season. I don't know, two, I'd have to watch two again, but I still love it. But I think because it feels like an epilogue to me. I've said that many times. Like, it feels like we've already had the climax of the series with Terry Silver, and now this is like everybody's getting along, but now they're deciding to go to a tournament. And usually the tournament or whatever they're building to has this personal stakes to it, you know? Yeah. They're resolving some conflict or something. Now it's just like, let's go to this tournament because it's going to be super cool. And it is pretty cool, but I think the problem for me, and it's not much of a problem, but because I really do mean it, I'm still loving it, it's just not my favorite, is that there is a personal stakes that's happening, and it's between Kreese and Johnny, but Johnny doesn't know that. You know, Johnny doesn't even know Kreese is going to be there. So, and maybe to another degree, Kreese and Daniel too. So I think once that gets more in the center, maybe it'll amp up the juice a little bit and I'll like it more. But all that said, I like this episode. I like, it was a great idea to build a whole episode around choosing this team of six to go to the tournament, because I didn't realize they'd be choosing the competitors so fast. I guess we should have known, but it's a pretty good idea for an episode.
Yeah. The pacing's good.
Yeah. Remo, what about you?
I agree. I mean, I like the episode, and I agree. It feels like some of the conflict was, you know, a little forced, it felt like. But again, like y'all already mentioned, it often does sometimes in the series, because we wouldn't be watching if there wasn't some of the drama, you know, between some of the characters. So, you know, it's like, okay, that's fine. I didn't let it bug me too much or anything. I still thought it was really great. I thought having Mike Barnes back was pretty cool. You know, getting to see some of the villains, you know, kind of come back. And I'm glad that we didn't, you know, not see him again. I don't know if we'll see him again anymore in season six or if that's it, but I thought it was great having him back.
I think because he was back last season and he was kind of nice at first, and some of his asshole side came out later on, but really when you got him back in the whole karate arena, did that persona from Karate Kid 3 start to emerge? And I thought it was cool. It would kind of be a shame after watching Karate Kid 3 not to see the bad boy of karate come back a little bit.
Yeah,
totally.
But what was the reason? Because that was part, I was a little confused about that. I was like, hey, look, it's Barnes, because I liked his appearance last season. And then I'm like, why is he being such a dick? Was it just to, like, so that he and Johnny could fight?
That's another forced conflict, but he said, what did he say? Sorry about all this. You know, ever since you guys brought karate back into my life, I've been itching for a fight. I guess I thought it would help me recapture a sense of my power or something.
Yeah.
And I mean, he also is frustrated because Terry Silver burned down his business, so he's just kind of frustrated about that. I guess, but it is vague, and I feel like a little bit like an excuse to have a fight.
Yeah. It was pretty funny when he was looking around the dojo, and he's like, this looks different since the last time I was here. And then an immediate flashback to him kicking Daniel's ass. That was pretty funny. I'm like, why is he so mad about that? That was a good memory.
It's funny because Daniel says, I have a really bad idea, and it's bringing Barnes back, and it's so Cobra Kai to have a bad idea and just go ahead and do it anyway because they need fodder for conflict. And right. So I think this is more about Daniel than Mike Barnes, because Daniel already was sort of like, was this such a great idea? And then I feel like that was probably more Daniel's flashback, you know, Mike's. All right. Shall we get into our points?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dimitri, how about Dimitri? Mm. My man, Dimitri, man, he's on it this episode. He's kind of in a tough place though, right? I mean, we got his super hot girlfriend made a cameo. My God. And then she wants him to be a winner. So, but then he has this huge falling out with Hawk because he's so interested in MIT. What is he going to do? Is he going to go to the MIT and ditch his hot babe girlfriend, or is he going to go to the tournament and bang on? I thought he had a pretty good story in this, but I'm sad now that Hawk and Dimitri hate each other now all of a sudden. Because I think Daniel was right. He's like, told Johnny at the end, he's like, are you happy? Look, Hawk, all dejected on the seat there, was like, he should be in it. I think Hawk is better than Dimitri.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
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 Totally.
No question. The only reason Dimitri's in it is because he gave him a cheap shot. He punched him while Hawk was reaching out a hand to help him up.
Yeah. He was mad, though.
Yeah.
You don't see him mad.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about conflict, and we've been wondering, will there be conflict again among all the good guys, because it feels like they're getting along, and we're also talking about forced conflict, and I feel like this is another example of forced conflict, because basically the conflict is that Dimitri wants both of them to go to MIT, but Hawk wants to explore other colleges, so Dimitri's pissed, and it's like, really? But the whole thing with his girlfriend, Yasmin, fuels it a little bit, because she's inspiring him to be self-confident and try to win. Because at first he was like, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to bother worry about it. So that's part of it. So when you combine him being pissed off that Hawk doesn't want to go to MIT with him, which I think is really dumb, and Dimitri's totally in the wrong, and with him deciding that he wants to be really aggressive and try to go to the tournament, then he made a mistake. But I mean, that's another thing about these forced conflicts. And like you said, it's a bummer for these two not to get along, is because when we like both people involved in conflict, then it feels bad and you just wish they'd work it out. And usually there's some element of like personal failure in there. And here I think it is just Dimitri being an ass, like not allowing Hawk to have his own path in life. And even if it means going off and doing something else without him, and also just wanting to do something for his girlfriend rather than for himself. So I think Dimitri was kind of a putz in this episode, honestly.
Yeah. But also look at his girlfriend.
That's another thing. I mean, we're talking about what's believable and not in this series. And I almost believe that a cobra would make you hallucinate more than these two dating.
That's funny. Yeah, no, right. Yeah, it is forced. I agree totally. But this one, I didn't feel like it was as forced. I think because this was a story arc that started like, what, 3 or 4 episodes ago. I mean, they've been talking about going to MIT for like the last, you know, since the beginning. And so it wasn't a surprise or anything like that. And I felt like, I did feel like Hawk maybe kind of betrayed Dimitri a little bit, if that's the proper term, because I mean, they've been talking about doing this since they were little kids, and Dimitri was really hurt. I kind of get that. But yeah, it does feel a little forced, as does most of this episode. But
well, Richard, I was really upset that you went to Long Beach and you didn't go to UC Santa Barbara. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, see, like that. You're still holding on to it.
It's all coming
out. I'm just kidding. Rima, what do you got?
Well, I'll just add to that, because Dimitri was one of my points as well. And, you know, he's so fueled by the well, Yasmin obviously plays a huge part of it. She's really fueled this encouragement and validation that now he feels like he's, you know, really has to try hard to win. And then he's also really sad about learning that, you know, Hawk doesn't, or maybe anyway, doesn't want to go to MIT. He's trying to keep his options open. And, you know, I get where Dimitri might feel sad about that. And I really wish, you know, I don't think Hawk is really at fault, but I do wish he would have been a little bit more honest with him up front. Like, he should have been honest with him when they were talking about applying or whatever. And he's kept it from him all this time and allowed him to go on and on and on about MIT and how they're going. And I think that that didn't help either. I think Eli probably did, or sorry, Dimitri felt a little bit of, you know, betrayal at that. So I understand that he's upset, but I don't think it was okay for him to take it as far as, you know, as what he did. So, and I wonder if there's more deep-seated resentment between them somewhere. Remember when Dimitri was, had Hawk on the ground and he had him in that arm hold, and, you know, when Hawk did that to Dimitri and he broke his arm, like when they were rivals, however many seasons ago and he's like, you know, how does that feel? How does that feel? Do you like that? And I'm like, is he still hanging on to that? Because he seemed to forgive him pretty quick. You know, they didn't really talk about it too much after they reunited, and like he forgave him and they were friends again. And it was just kind of like, I forgive you, let's move on.
Yeah.
It's like, well, has he really forgiven him for that? Is that? Because it seemed kind of deep seated with how, because I was like, wow, Dimitri isn't just mad. Like, he's unhinged a little bit here in this. So I wonder if he's still hanging on to some of that.
Yeah, because Hawk was so bad. I had forgotten about that, but he was he was like psychopathic. And as he says, I was in a bad place. And it was really, he broke his arm. So yeah, that's great. I think you're totally right. I think that was in the back of my head. Like, there's something with this hold that he's doing, but it wasn't conscious, but you're so right.
Yeah. Tables have turned.
But I just think, like, I could imagine being Hawk and be like, MIT, cool, we'll go together. And then he says he went to this frat party and that sort of opened his eyes that, oh, there's other options out there. Maybe I don't want to go to MIT. How am I going to tell Dimitri? He's so into it. He just keeps going on. He's going to break his heart. He's going to hate me. Like, I got to figure out how to tell him, you know, and just not like being like, I don't know. What do I say? And then he did tell him, you know, it was a bit later than he probably should have, but I can totally understand that. Like, because Dimitri's been going on and on about it so much.
Told him right before they go get the flags. Perfect timing.
Well, that's because Dimitri brought it up again. I know it was probably should have delayed just a little bit longer, but that's Cobra Kai.
Yeah. And then he's like, you came to this flag? And I was like, oh, yeah, huh, because they were planning on trying to make it together. And then he was like, no, we're not going to the tournament together. I was like, this whole thing is just falling apart.
And Hawk was still trying to be friendly with him, you know. He was upset that they weren't going together, and he, like, tried to help him up. And he's feeling bad about the whole thing. And then Dimitri punches him in the face and takes the flag. And now inferior players going to the tournament.
You know, you triggered her thought, Rima. You said that Dimitri was quick to forgive. Maybe he'll be that way again. Maybe he'll be remorseful and be like, I shouldn't have done that. You can go to the tournament, Hawk.
Yeah, who knows?
It seems like Hawk's got to be in it.
I doubt it, just because I think they want Dimitri. Yeah, maybe you're right. But I feel like they want to shake things up, right? And I think, you know, I was telling you guys, I was sort of looking at the news but trying not to get spoiled, and that some people were upset about the way things went this season. And I have a feeling this might be that not the strongest team is going, you know? But I think it might be more interesting dramatically. Like, there'll be more, like, underdogs going into the tournament, and then that makes it more like, oh my God, are they going to win? You know?
Yeah. Well, we three still have one more episode to go. Maybe that is a cliffhanger this time, huh? Is that the team that's going?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's not the six that we think it is right now, and all the listeners know it, but we don't.
There's got to be a huge shakeup, I feel. I feel like they're so great about always ending these on a cliffhanger. So there's got to be some big shakeup. I don't know what or anything, because I haven't watched ahead, but I don't know. I feel like there's got to be something there, especially after, like, this episode's, like, such a shock is like, how everything turned about and who's actually the six that were chosen. So
everything went to shit in one episode.
Maybe Johnny will enter.
Johnny.
He did kick Mike Barnes's butt. He was a national champion.
That's right. Okay.
Hey, man, don't diss the Valley, man.
Don't diss the Valley. I'm going to be do mine number one, underdogs. Like we said, I tend to like underdogs. The little guy, the guy who has the deck stacked against him, the guy people don't think is going to win and that everyone else picks on. And like, for example, I like Bran in Game of Thrones. He's one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite. But everyone else picks on him. Henry from The Walking Dead. People who watch that show know who that is, but most people probably won't. And Anthony in Cobra Kai. And I think it's interesting. This episode's all about choosing this team for the tournament, but it was more focused on the underdogs because the top people, Tori, Sam, Miguel, Robbie, and we all thought Hawk, are kind of the shoe-ins. It's more or less known that they were going, so the drama is about who would fill in the last, well, it turns out, two spots.
Yeah.
And so everyone vying for those spots is considered the underdog. I like how Johnny and Daniel tell them all, you know, you guys think that some of you are shoe-ins and some think you're underdogs, but anything can happen and each of you has a shot. And actually, Johnny and Daniel both have their lists of people who they think are going. So I like that because Johnny and Daniel, you know, when you want all your students to feel like they all have potential, but when you've been teaching them for a while, you know who the standouts are. So it makes sense that they would do that. But for me, the interesting part is where Johnny and Daniel disagree. Johnny wants Tori, which seems like an obvious choice. Daniel only doesn't want her because she's too Cobra Kai. And then he wants Devin, who's too Eagle Fang for Daniel. And then Daniel wants Dimitri and Anthony, who are two totally biased picks. Anthony is his son, and Dimitri's been a loyal Miyagi-Do. But they're both underdogs. I mean, you could, if you were going to say who are like two underdogs in this show, people might just pick those two, I think. And Daniel identifies with underdogs because he was one, and Karate Kid is the story of Daniel LaRusso, the underdog who got bullied and came back and won the tournament. And like when he says to Anthony, look at you, hard work paying off. Anthony says, yeah, but no way I make it past this round. And Daniel says, I won the All Valley with less. That line is really what made me go, oh yeah. It's kind of like he identifies with these guys more, Devin, Dimitri, Anthony, you know, Daniel is more like them than he is like Miguel, Tori, or Sam. And Johnny was the ace degenerate. So he's more like them.
Yeah.
top of the
Barnes
class
too. Yeah.
I would kind of argue Miguel was an underdog. He's not, I don't think he is now, but yeah. I think in the beginning he was. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. They've built themselves up. But Miguel felt more like Daniel at first, but now he's kick ass. But yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. So then there's this parallel with Anthony and Daniel being underdogs. Anthony, when he's really upset about getting that bloody nose and getting eliminated, says, no matter what I do, I can't win. And Daniel says, win, lose, it doesn't matter. You just keep doing your best and you'll have everyone's respect. And Anthony says, I just want to go home. And I love that whole sequence because it brought up, well, when he says, I just want to go home, it reminded me in Karate Kid when Daniel gets pushed, his bike gets pushed off that, well, I think it was Johnny, right? Pushed him down the cliff.
Yeah.
One of them did. And he's throwing it into the dumpster. His mom catches him and I hate this bike. And then, and that always makes me laugh for some reason. And then, he says to his mom, all you want to hear is how great it is here. Maybe for you, but it sucks for me. I hate this place. I hate it. I want to go home. Why can't we just go back home? I think that was a deliberate callback, just to feeling so hopeless and just wanting to say, fuck this. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I understand that. But I got a little bit angry at that scene. Because not angry, but I was just like, come on, dude. Really? One time and you're going to throw a fit and go home?
I mean, look at it. This kid, Kenny, used to beat the shit out of him. Yeah. And he was scared to death of this kid. And now he's at this... And he was also the kind of kid that never tried. When Daniel tried to teach him karate by teaching him wax the car. Didn't he like have someone else do it or something? I forget, but he didn't do it right. And now he's turned around and he's really giving it his all. And he's believed what his dad told him, that anyone has a chance, you know, I won the All Valley with less. And then not only does he lose, but it's by getting punched in the face and bloody nose bloody by the same kid that used to beat the shit out of him all the time. Yeah. And so I agree with you. I also felt kind of annoyed with him, but when I really thought about it, if I was in his place in that moment, I would feel the same. And I'm going to give him a lot of grace here because it's a really humiliating thing to have happen and just dispiriting thing, you know?
Yeah. You're a much better person than I am.
Well, I don't think it takes away from anything that you said, because I do agree with a lot of that. But before Kenny knew karate, he was the one getting picked on by Anthony. Anthony was a bully to him and picking on him all the time. And then Kenny learned to defend himself. And of course, he kind of went the other way, being more vengeful and not using karate for self-defense, but instead was an aggressor. And then beat up Anthony. So there was that. Not that Anthony, you know, deserved anything or whatever, but just pointing that out.
I forgot about that. I don't even remember that.
Mm. Yeah, there was Anthony and his friends all ganging up and
oh, I think yeah, Kenny wasn't it like him? But didn't he sort of hold back a little bit, and then Kenny thought he was involved when he wasn't, or something like that? I don't think it was that extreme, but I could be wrong.
I mean, they didn't beat him up or anything, but I know that he kind of made fun of him and, you know, harassed him. And
yeah,
right. That's a good point. I'd like to go back and see more of the details of that. But yeah, you're right. I remember now. I think Anthony was kind of going along with the crowd a little bit, but he felt kind of bad about it. But still, it's, you know, he still did it. But I think Kenny coming back and practically killing him. And then when Anthony tried to make it right, Kenny was still just terrorizing him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Kenny still had a chip on his shoulder, and there's still tension between them too.
There
is. You can see that in that scene at the school or in the hallway.
Yeah.
I just think you called someone a name and then they just follow you around and beat you up repeatedly. It's a little bit lopsided. So then Daniel's saying, win, lose, it doesn't matter. You just keep doing your best and you'll have everyone's respect. In Karate Kid, after Daniel Miyagi went to the Cobra Kai dojo, met Kreese for the first time, you know, and then they decide to settle it through this tournament between Johnny and Daniel. Daniel says, you really think I can beat that guy? Miyagi says, no matter. Wacko teacher attitude, rest in fists, stupid but fact of life. Win, lose, no matter. You make good fight, earn respect. Then nobody bother. And Daniel says, either that or they'll bury me where I fall. And Miyagi says, either way, problem solved. But but I love how, you know, that's kind of what Daniel's repeating to Anthony here, Miyagi's lessons, you know, just do your best and you'll earn everyone's respect. But of course, just Daniel didn't buy that either when Miyagi said it, because at the end of the tournament when he was injured and Miyagi was like, you already proved yourself, you don't need to go back out and fight. And Daniel's like, no, I won't have respect unless I go out and do it. So yeah,
that's exactly how kids think too.
Yeah, of course. And I think I would too, honestly.
Yeah. Well, we all did. It's just, I was having a little hope that I kind of wanted to see the thing between Kenny and Anthony go on, you know. I thought they were going to be battling for the flag. So I was a little disappointed that, you know, he was like, hey, it doesn't matter what I do. I can't win. And then I'm like, it would have been much more refreshing, because that's such the thing we hear all the time with kids. You know, it'd be more like, hey, Dad, you're right. I'm going to fuck him up. Yeah. You know?
Well, I think, I mean, this feels to me a lot like when, I think it was it season 3 or 4 when, Daniel was really floundering and Terry Silver got the best of him at that fundraiser event.
Yeah.
Remember? And then Amanda was all upset with Daniel. And I was like, yeah, but Terry kind of egged him on. And I felt a lot of grace for Daniel right then and knew that he would come back and redeem himself. And you guys were like, Daniel sucked. And it feels similar here, like with Anthony, like he's at a low point, you know? Yeah. And when he responded like that, it did make me not like him. I felt a lot of things at once, but it reminded me of his unlikable side at least. But I'm really pulling him. And honestly, when he's acting likable, he reminds me of my son, Nico. It's just there's some similarities about them. Nico's he turned 13 in July and he's grown up so much in the last year. He's like a different person. His voice is actually lower than mine.
Wow. And,
so Anthony kind of reminds me of Nico now, his vibe, and Nico's in Kung Fu and everything. So I'm like, man, I hope he does come back and work this all out. And I think he will. I don't think they're just going to leave him stranded in this shitty moment, you know?
That was my next question. He'll be back, right? Because the thing between him and Kenny is still kind of unresolved.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I was saying maybe Daniel will take him along as a vacation to the tournament and he'll end up being in it or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'll be in it again. So what do we got? We got Hawk and Dimitri hate each other. Kenny and Anthony hate each other. Devon is like a wild card, huh? After what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was one of my points. It's like the top four, we got Sam, Tori, Miguel, and Robbie, right? They're all tight. You can't really mess with that, can you? But they got to be there. They're the golden ticket to this thing. There's no squibble squabble with them. I mean, if there is, you might as well not even go to the tournament, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought it was a little bit dumb of Barnes to come in and say, all right, we're going to play this Battle Royale flag snatching competition, because the best flag snatchers are not the ones to go to the... You don't need to know how to snatch a flag. You need to know karate. Well,
it bothered...
Or catch a chicken.
Yeah, that bothered me too, because I'm like, it felt like it was luck-based, because what if you did find a flag, but you didn't run into anyone else? You just happened to find the flag. I mean, that doesn't mean that you're a good fighter. So that I didn't really love that.
That was the second one. Yeah, where they had to go out and find a flag, and Dimitri asked, what if we both find one at once? And he's like, you fight. But the better question would be, so if I just find one, I win because I had good luck. But the first one was Battle Royale flag snatching, so everyone had to see who could get the most, right?
Yeah.
Which was equally dumb, I thought.
Yeah, I didn't really actually understand any of what Barnes was doing, but I just ran with it. I'm like, oh, I'll try and figure it out later.
Same.
Do you think they'll mess? They won't mess with the top four, right? You think there'll be any story there?
Because the reason why I mentioned I think that was dumb is because you clearly do want Tori, Sam, Miguel, and Robbie. And so if you leave that up to this whole Battle Royale flag snatching, maybe they're not good flag snatchers. What if they weren't? It turns out they were, but and I thought it was weird that they all sort of went after each other. I'm like, no, I think the strong people would go after the weak people. In the flag.
That was their strategy. That's how they got in.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like if you're Miguel and you want to get in and you also want Tori and Robbie and Sam to get in, then you don't try to take their flags. You go after Bert and Nate.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, maybe they were behind the scenes, you know, like team it up on one person. You take that flag, I'll take this flag.
No, they were going after each other. Like Miguel and Robbie were going after each other, and
that's just what we saw on camera.
Sam and Tori. Okay.
This argument of mine is going nowhere, sorry.
What else, Rich?
I don't know. I was thinking about the top four. You can't mess with that, right? That's tight. Do you think they'll even touch that? I can't imagine.
Not if they want a chance of winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a international tournament.
Sam and Tori are like the best. Yeah, they kind of resolved all of their issues, huh? And then
I think
Miguel and Robbie are tight.
We have the team unless something goes wrong, like someone gets injured or something. I think we know who the team is, and I don't think the senseis would have any reason to take those four out.
So I'm betting Hawk is going to get on the team somehow. And I think that Devon is going to stay on the team. That's what I think.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a feeling. Because that would be like, because they're leading us down that path while Devin cheated. So she's going to get caught. And then, Kenny's going to take her place. But I'm like, I don't know. I guess it might maybe do that little left turn that this show likes to do all the time and just kind of leave her in. But then that wouldn't be the right thing to do either, would it?
Well, it doesn't matter if it's the right thing. Yeah, you have a good point there. They like to make us do something we don't expect. But yeah. When the three of us were talking about who we thought was going to be on the team, we said Sam, Tori, Miguel, Robbie,
yeah.
Hawk. And then for the last position, I was saying probably Kenny, and you said Devin. I don't think you made a guess, Rima, right? But this is kind of exactly what Dimitri was saying when he was laying out why he won't even bother. He's like, well, yeah, these five are the main ones. So that means there's only one position open and it will probably go to Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of thought through it the same way we did.
Kenny. That was an interesting turn of events. I wouldn't have expected what happened to Kenny.
Getting his brown belt.
When he started drinking from that water bottle before they ran into the woods to go find the flags, I knew.
Oh, did
that,
you?
That's what was going to happen. Before that, I didn't have a clue. But when I saw him like squirting that water bottle, it immediately reminded me of when Mitch had been putting it in his water bottle when they were training at the dojo. And I was like,
oh yeah. Huh.
I was like, I bet. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. Something's funny about that water. Why are they focusing on that water so much with Kenny?
Yeah.
And I was like, somebody slipped him something, I bet. I was like, I bet there's something in there. And sure enough, I didn't like think at all that it would be Devin. But I knew something was going to happen.
Yeah,
to Kenny.
Me either. That was
I thought it would be Devin. I don't know why. Because they had penis breath taking his X-lax.
It's muscles.
Muscles
now.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
He's got a new nickname.
I don't know if I can remember that. But anyway, Mitch takes his X-lax Who saw him? Anthony. Anthony saw him do it. So they're setting us up to think that Anthony sabotaged Kenny, of course, because we know they have this rivalry. And like you were saying, Rich, like now this show doesn't do the expected. I think it was Devin. I just kind of had that thought right away, and it did turn out to be her. But then when poor Kenny shits his pants and everyone starts laughing, and I, even though I don't like Kenny, because Kenny was so vicious and he's still a dick to Anthony. He's still like Anthony's like, why did they even bring us all out here if we're all losers? And Kenny's like, so you can see what it's like to win, or see what it looks like to win.
Still and a jerk.
He's always doing shit like that. But he's not as bad of a jerk, because when he punched Anthony in the nose and Anthony's nose started bleeding, he seemed sincere when he was like, oh, I'm sorry, LaRusso. But anyways, mm-hmm. I still kind of don't like him. I hope he can be redeemed. But when he shit his pants, I simultaneously totally understood why Anthony would laugh at him, but also felt really bad for him, because that's a very humiliating thing to go through.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in front of your peers, when you're that age. Now, of course, I don't care.
Yeah, at that age.
Right now, I just do it on purpose.
Right now, it's like, oops, shit my pants. Sorry, everybody.
Never trust a fart. I don't love Kenny by any means. I feel like he's still got quite an attitude and he's still a bit of a dick. I do feel he was genuine whenever he punched Anthony and realized he bloodied his nose. But I don't think he deserved that, because that's pretty bad at that age, you know. That's very humiliating.
And now Devin knows that Kenny thinks Anthony did it, and Kenny's probably going to go beat the shit out of Anthony or something, you know, and Devin's going to have to feel bad about that.
But
Devin has really made a mess.
Yeah.
And clearly she's, you know, even
so
though she's
Kenny.
Been practicing. Yeah. Even though she's been practicing Miyagi-Do. Yeah. you know, it clearly it's not sinking in with her, you know, the practice of Miyagi-Do, you know, doesn't guarantee that.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going to be super virtuous. And she's really, you know, stirred things up because now she's got, you know, cheated, which shows her true character. I mean, I was really upset by that. I was like, man, I was rooting for you, Devin, you know, but I feel like she's still hanging on to some of that ruthlessness that she, you know, learned from Cobra Kai and Eagle Fang. Mm-hmm. And now she's really got it stirred up between Kenny and Anthony again, which, you know, felt like, yeah, they were still kind of ribbing each other, but I was really kind of hoping that through all this, they'd, you know, start to get a little bit of resolve there, you know, as they were training together. And she's just really, really went and messed that up. And it's going to be, I think, pretty bad once it's found out what she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she seems like, maybe it's just the way the actor's playing it, but she seems like she has a good heart. But like I was saying, these conflicts that happen between people, there's that we like, because I like Devin. There's often a personal failure, and her personal failure. I mean, she was coming off kind of whiny, I thought, when she was like, oh, there, so-and-so's faster than me and so-and-so's bigger. Yeah. And but I did understand her being frustrated that the that Barnes happened to not be looking when she was doing her most awesome moves, you know, and feeling like that wasn't fair. But then she kept thinking about Johnny when he was in his Eagle Fang mode. And then when he said to her something like, you do what you got to do, you understand me, I think she misunderstood him and thought he was telling her to at any cost, you know. So what you just made me think of, Rima, is when Daniel at the beginning was saying, the ones you want to go, maybe they're not balanced enough. They're not Miyagi-Do balanced enough or whatever. I felt pretty critical of Daniel there. I'm like, hey, get rid of your biases. These are all your students now. Don't just pick your son and your people who are loyal to Miyagi. But it turns out maybe there was a point there with Devin, like she hasn't fully taken on the values of the dojo yet.
Yeah, Miyagi-Do. She's still stuck with Cobra Kai.
She will.
I felt the same way. Like when they were talking and Johnny said, do whatever you need to do. And then there was the flashbacks of her losing like all the time. Mm-hmm. She's probably really frustrated and she wanted to be seen. She doesn't want to lose anymore. She doesn't want to be a failure anymore. So she's doing what she needs to do. Well, made sense to me.
Yeah. She was so desperate for Johnny's approval.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep.
Bummer.
Rima, I think it's your turn. Do you have another point?
I'm like you, Richard. I was kind of confused about what Mike Barnes was doing, like trying to determine these six players or fighters that were going to go to the tournament. I feel like, wouldn't it have just been better to actually have them fight and actually test their fighting skills one-on-one? And instead of having just the six, maybe they should have kept the top 12. And that way you had your main fighters, you had your six, and then you had your other six who were like your substitutes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a world tournament, I feel like, or an international whatever tournament. I don't feel that's out of the realm of something that's acceptable to do. What if someone gets sick? What if someone gets injured? You know, wouldn't it make sense to have some people on a substitute team? I think it also would have made all the drama between the kids, you know, have a little bit more depth to them. Mm. You know, if Kenny and Anthony both had, you know, made like the substitute team, or if they found out about like Devin cheating, you know, knowing that she's in the top six, she could have been bumped to the substitute team and you could have brought another kid up for that. I don't know. I didn't really like that. I just thought it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I know that they had this battle royale and they had to like capture the flags and stuff, and then they had to do all these things for endurance and, you know, speed and things like that. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to a tournament where you have to actually fight, you should probably do some fighting, you know, to determine those. And honestly, they should have just had like that top four, you know, with you know, Miguel and Robbie and Tori and Samantha. Yeah, Sam. Because, I mean, they're all the best. And then, like, Hawk, I feel like he was the best. Yeah. They really should have, I don't know, had a little bit a different type of elimination, I feel, in choosing some of them. And then having, like, a substitute team. I don't know, just that didn't make as much sense to me to go about it that way. So I wish that they would have, you know, went a different way. But I do like how this episode had a shift of focus to Devin and Dimitri, Kevin and Hawk. You know, we had some of the, not that Hawk, I guess, is B team, but, you know, they had some of the lesser characters, you know, kind of in the spotlight, and you know, the drama is kind of over, at least I hope, anyway, for now, between the top four.
Yeah.
So it's kind of good to see some of the others getting some spotlight on them and kind of getting some drama.
The underdogs.
Yeah. Yeah, the underdogs.
Yeah. Hashing out their stories. That's a great point. Yeah. You know what? You're right. I totally assumed when we found out there was going to be six players in this thing that's exactly what they're going to do. You know, I was like, well, that's what you do. You just put on like a fake tournament. You get them all padded up with their pads and their helmets and stuff, and you just go and
totally
just do the tournament of elimination. But nope.
The reason they didn't do that is because we're headed towards this tournament and we're going to get so much of that kind of thing, and they don't want to be tedious on the show. And so they wanted to try to find something different that was entertaining, you know, interesting to watch. But, I mean, that's what I presume. Otherwise it would just be, here's a preliminary tournament, here's another tournament, and then we're going to the big tournament and we would be tournamented out. But, I think it was a misfire writing wise, 'cause it was dumb.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, Rima has a great point. I mean, you could do a lot of drama with that sort of scenario. Probably more so than what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But we got what we got. I don't know. I'm excited to see what the next episode holds. Sort of. But then we got to wait freaking what? 2 months?
November? Yeah.
God. Hate this.
So I had a point about conflicts. We talked about, so because we were wondering whether there'd be more conflicts between the good guys, and we got a lot of it this time. Hawk and Dimitri, we already talked out. Johnny and Mike Barnes. Johnny goes to the furniture shop. I guess Barnes seems to be making furniture, right? So I guess he's rebuilding his business. So that's good. Barnes totally picks a fight, saying, oh yeah, I understand why it might be hard for you to deal with a bigger alpha or something like that. And disses Miyagi-Do style with her kata and meditation. And then they start fighting. Yeah. And I like how it started with them punching each other right in the fist, fist to fist.
Yeah.
And then they take turns trying to push each other into the buzzsaw. I'm like,
you're right.
Jeez.
That was scary.
That was corny, I thought.
That was a bit much. I liked that at least it seemed like Johnny won. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, yeah totally. Because Barnes was like, all right, that's enough.
You win. But also then he apologized. And so maybe it was just that he thought, I don't really want to be fighting right now. So I don't know for sure if you could say Johnny won. But I guess if you had to pick a winner, it'd be Johnny.
I mean, technically, just because he yielded, but we didn't actually, you know, if he hadn't yielded, would he have? I don't know. But I mean, I know that Johnny and Mike Barnes's fight wasn't necessary for the plot, but we still needed to see it. And it was awesome.
Yes. Yeah. We needed to see the two bad boys fight.
Yes. It was awesome.
That was cool.
It was great. And one thing about it, it's just part of what I'm not liking as much about this season is the forced nature of it. It felt kind of like a forced fight. I agree with you 100%, Rima. We needed to see it, so fine. But then there was this quick reconciliation where they're like, I'm so sorry. And it made it feel a little cheap that they, because throughout the series, we've seen a bunch of rivalries develop and intensify. And then eventually they kind of settle down and connect and become friendly. And it's really satisfying to see this arc play out, like primarily between Johnny and Daniel over seasons. Right. And then a bunch of others. I don't even need to name them all, but this one happened in about 7 minutes where they're like all intense, trying to kill each other. And then like, oh, sorry, man.
Yeah. Cause then at the end of the show, Barnes says, here's your team. And then he literally exits stage right. Like he went to his right hand side and just walked out of the frame. Like, I think that's the last we're going to see of Barnes.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was a little abrupt. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Mike Barnes and Johnny were like friends by the end of it, but I feel like they had like a mutual respect. Like, okay, I see you, you see me, and they're so much alike. They're both like these kind of aggressive alpha males, and they kind of like get each other. And that's probably why they, you know, kind of rubbed each other the wrong way, because they're so much alike.
Would you say Johnny and Daniel are friends?
I think they're closer to friends than what they used to be, for sure. Yeah. I think they're definitely
kind of the same thing. There's a mutual respect.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like, because Johnny looks like he's working at the dealership now. He's wearing that that jacket or whatever with LaRusso Auto Group on it. So it looks like it's official.
One thing I loved is when they were looking at each other's lists and Johnny's like, Anthony, come on. What is this, a family road trip or whatever? Which I felt the same way. And then when Barnes was picking his 12 and the very last one was Anthony, and Daniel's looking kind of proud, and Johnny looks over at him and is like, okay, way to go, brother. Like, he was happy for him, you know? And I'm like, ah, that's so great.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, Reba. They are closer to friends, and maybe they'll actually be like full on friends. But I still feel like it's the same kind of thing where there's these two rivals that fought each other bitterly and then came to some kind of mutual respect. And that happened with Johnny and Mike Barnes in about 7 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're short episodes, so we can't.
Yeah.
We got to move on to other things.
We got all these seasons.
Well, but you
it
know,
felt rushed.
Yeah, totally. But you know, I think that because if we don't see Mike Barnes again, I think what we were trying to, or what they were trying to show us a little in this episode, was how he demonstrated. You know, like, he had self-awareness about his lack of self-control and how it cost him being able to go to this Sekai Taikai. You know, and whenever he said that, as he was giving that speech in front of the kids, I was like, oh, he's had some self-reflection and he kind of understands that.
He takes responsibility,
what's it cost.
For it.
So, yeah. And I think, you know, even though he told Johnny, he's like, I don't know, man, I think I've just been looking for a fight. And I'm sure it's probably just everything that's been pent up that happened to him when Terry Silver burned his business down and his life was a mess, probably lost everything. I have no idea what his situation was with his wife. Maybe she left him or something, but it sounds like he just got all this going on. And, you know, and Johnny was there and they just kind of took it out on each other. But I don't think he really had any heart in it, at all.
That's true. Yeah.
So,
yep. Just, it was a guy there giving him trouble. So he took it out on him. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. It's not a deep rivalry there. So, you just made it better for me, because that actually wasn't a deep rivalry. So it does make sense that it was over more quickly.
I was just thinking, Johnny and Daniel, no one's going to win their rivalry, you know? So I might as well team up and be friends. Because here you got two alphas and one of them wins. Boom, done.
So more rivalries. Kenny and Anthony, they've never been friends, but I was a little bit surprised to see Kenny ribbing Anthony still, like that thing I said about, so you can see what winning looks like. Mm-hmm. But it does feel real, like a kids who used to fight a lot and then they ended up on the same team, but one of them's still kind of a dick. That feels more real than if they were all just suddenly friendly.
It's like real life.
Totally. Definitely feels more real. Yeah.
But he had softened a little bit. But anyway, we talked about that already. So Devin and Kenny, that's more about Devin, I think. It doesn't have to do with Kenny at all. He just happened to be the person in her way, right? So I don't know if I would even consider that a rivalry. But it will be once Kenny finds out that she did that. And then Daniel and Johnny a little bit, because they were having at first that kind of what we've been wanting, that little bit of conflict that makes it interesting, because they didn't pick the same people at the beginning. But at the end, Daniel blames Johnny for Hawk not going, because he finds out that Johnny basically lobbied Barnes.
Yeah.
And he goes, you just had to Eagle Fang your way to get what you wanted. And I'm like, that's not true. I think it was close, and Barnes did miss Devin's best move. And I think, if he had seen that, he probably would have picked Devin over Kenny, and it was just a dumb way to pick. But I think Devin's a strong choice. And when Daniel says, do you honestly believe we have our strongest team? I'm like, well, the only difference from the team Daniel would have picked is that instead of Hawk and Anthony. It's Tori and Devin. So as much as I'm pulling for Anthony, I think he's the weakest of those four. So Daniel's complaining. My point in going through all this, which I probably could have said a lot shorter, is that Daniel's complaining about what happened, but the team he picked wasn't their strongest team either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Johnny said, when he asked Johnny that, Johnny was like, yeah, absolutely. I totally believe in this team 100%.
Which was admirable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to say.
Yeah. You got to commit. You can't be like, oh, I don't know the whole time all the way up to the tournament. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you guys are good enough, but go do your best.
Yep. I agree. I'm on Team Johnny on this one. All right. Anything else? I got one more point. Do you guys have any more before we go to notes?
I just have a couple notes. No.
Same.
Okay. Mine is just funny lines. Yeah. One is Johnny tells Daniel he wants control of the showroom music at the dealership. And I'm like, that's going to be Slayer, Metallica, AC/DC.
Probably yeah, same playlist I've got. Like,
that would be awesome.
Same playlist Reba's got, Guns N' Roses. Yep. do you have a list like this? We could take turns.
I just jotted down a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
What same thing. Don't diss the Valley Man. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny when Barnes was like, all right, when you introduced, you know, going out into the woods to grab the flags, he like was totally serious and made it serious. He was like, all right, everybody, take 10 minutes, stretch, use the bathroom, call your mothers.
That's a good impersonation, Rich.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah, the only reason that happened is because they had to give Devin time to spike Kenny's drink and for it to start taking action.
Yeah.
I think
I'd love to use that line the next time I introduce an assignment to my students. That'd be cool.
Finals.
Record it. I want to hear. You can play it.
Ready,
back on the
kids?
Podcast.
This is a big one. 10 points.
So Daniel, when he first introduced Barnes to the students and they're all like chattering about the new teacher, and he goes, silence, and Johnny goes, I like this guy, and that's because Johnny always screams quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got any more?
You got one, Rima?
Well, when Barnes called Johnny a cream puff.
Oh, he did.
That was, yeah, when they were, yeah, he called him a cream puff whenever Johnny went to meet him at his wood shop. And does anybody remember what that's a callback from?
I do.
No.
Yeah, I had a feeling you might. You're like the Karate Kid master. There's in the first movie in Karate Kid, it's during the final tournament. Johnny walks over to Kreese and he's getting his nose checked. And it's just before Kreese tells him to sweep the leg. And as Kreese is checking his nose, in the crowd somewhere, you never see a face, but someone yells really loud, Johnny, you're a cream puff. And so the look on Johnny's face when Barnes called him a cream puff, you could tell it stung a little bit.
Yeah. Like, how'd you know about that?
Yeah. And I'm like, and I was like, was that Barnes?
Like, right. Maybe it was him. Ah. That's good. I think we should, that's our headcanon.
Man, if that happens twice, though, you got to start to wonder, right? Oh, no, am I a cream puff?
Everyone calls me that. I liked when Johnny said to Barnes after their fight, just do me a solid, just check that little diary of yours and see if you gave Devin a fair shake, all right? A favor from one bad boy to another.
Yeah, one bad boy to another. Think of it that way. I thought it was funny. It's not a quote, but did you notice at the end, after Dimitri came back, they all started celebrating before they even knew if Hawk was okay?
Yeah.
He was like, they actually introduced the entire team before Hawk even showed up. Everyone was just like, yeah, partying. Like,
anyone concerned?
Where's Hawk?
Including Dimitri.
Yeah.
He looked a little ashamed at first, but then he pulls out his thing, raising his fist in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Hawk.
All right. What about notes?
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that we haven't covered already was, I know I was feeling a certain kind of way during the Johnny and Mike Barnes fight when, in slow motion, Barnes shook off the sawdust. That was awesome. That had me feeling feeling some things. I like that.
You know what else too? I did think actually that just triggered a thought. I remember thinking, wow, I wish I could just start throwing down without stretching or warming up or anything like that. These guys just went into it full bore. I'm like, God, I would pull so many muscles.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, I wonder what this was really like for these guys.
Yeah.
They probably filmed one little bit of it and they're like, okay, I need to rest.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I read. Yeah. I don't know, Jason, if you have this in the news or not, but I happened to come across an article from Sean Kanan talking about this episode, and he actually was supposed to have surgery on his shoulder, a rotator cuff repair or something or other.
Oh, yeah.
And he put it on hold in case he got the call for season 6. And so he was not like super injured, but I think they had to choreograph it a certain way and kind of, you know, be kind of careful. And but he did all the things like what you see is him or whatever. But I think that they had to, you know, kind of accommodate a little bit for that and then get his surgery later. So I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, dang, way to go.
Committed, yeah.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
I just keep seeing AJ Quartermain when I look at him, though. I know he's Mike Barnes, but I'm like, you're AJ Quartermain for me.
That's funny. All right. I had a few notes. I like that Anthony and Devin seem to be getting to be friends at school. They're encouraging each other. You know, you're going to be the one to go, no, you're good. I thought that was cool. Then Kenny jumps in and says, I wouldn't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
When Anthony came in with his bloody nose and Daniel brings up the time he got spaghetti on him as worse, I thought that was dumb. I wasn't a big fan of Daniel in this episode, honestly.
Spaghetti stains worse than blood, I guess.
So you mentioned, you know, better than being a cream puff. And then late after the fight, Barnes says, what I tell you, cream puff, your karate's a joke. In Karate Kid 3, Mike Barnes said, your karate's a joke to Daniel twice. Once when he broke into Daniel and Miyagi's bonsai shop, and then once at the tournament while he was kicking Daniel's ass. Karate's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a thing he says.
He was going hard at him. Yeah.
Couple more. I've said a few times that these movies and shows are kind of like comic books, how it's kind of unrealistic for fights to break out all the time. But if you think of it like a comic book with superheroes, it's just part of the genre. And I was thinking another way that these shows are like comics is in comics, there tend to be way more villains than heroes. And that's because like Spider-Man, you know, comes out every month, Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man's the hero, but he gets a new villain each time, you know, except when they repeat. So that means there's more villains. So in one sense, Daniel's the protagonist and the hero of the Miyagi-verse, and then you have villains, Johnny, Chosen, Mike Barnes, Terry Silver. But that's why it's so great that Cobra Kai has played up Daniel's flaws and played up all these bad guys' humanity so that they could all kind of be anti-heroes on equal footing with Johnny and Daniel as the co-leads. But they're all mostly former villains who have kind of halfway reformed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Chosen wasn't even in it.
Yeah, that was my last thing. I guess he went off to Okinawa and didn't even say goodbye or what?
Yes.
I mean, they haven't even really talked about him or even mentioned it in passing.
Well, we got this huge tournament. We need to choose 6 people. He's like, okay, bye.
Yeah, good luck in the tournament. I gotta go
talk to Kumiko.
I gotta go find my girl. Yes.
But yeah. Amanda's not complaining.
Probably not.
Yeah, you know, you guys bring up some good points. We talked a lot about how there's been a lot of shit talking in this episode. Everyone's really good at talking smack against each other. And I'm like, I can't do that. Are you guys able to do that in the moment?
If I'm drunk, I can.
Can you? Because I'm just sometimes. Like, oh, yeah, well, you're a jerk. That's like you're my
bad,
best comeback.
Bad.
I feel like that I was so much better at that in like my younger self in teenage years, but I'm a little out of practice.
Right.
I have to be all professional these days. So I feel like I'm very much out of practice, but yeah, like I think like Jason, I think a couple drinks and it all comes back.
For me, it's just playing pool or basketball. Like every once in a while, I'll have a really good game and surprise myself. Yeah. It's kind of like that. let's get us some listener feedback. We didn't get a lot of, we didn't get any text comments. That's probably my fault because I forgot to put up the post until yesterday, but we did get a couple of calls. Actually, one's from, they're both from Mike Caruso. One's from last week for last week's episode, which he sent in a bit late, and one for this week. So here's from last week's episode.
Hello again, guys. Mike from Cincinnati here. Cobra Kai, Season 6, Episode 3, The Sleeper. I just watched it, and overall, I really enjoyed this episode. Even though I have to say, in my opinion, at the beginning, it kind of felt a bit like a sitcom, and I wasn't sure that I was going to like it, but turned out in the end, I really did. I really liked the Kreese and Quan Cobra Kai storyline, building up a bad guy for our good guys to face. That kid looks pretty formidable. Man, he might hurt somebody. We'll see what happens with that. Of course, I love the Mr. Miyagi stuff with Daniel, Amanda, and Chosen. I really felt like it was kind of showing Daniel that Mr. Miyagi is not like this, like, perfect, unblemished, almost like deity. Like, he had his faults just like any one of us did. I'm not sure if that's what they're trying to say with that. You know, it almost feels like, you know, Miyagi-Do has a bit of Johnny in it, if you look at it that way. And it felt like it was all about balance, you know, like the balance between that that stuff. I don't know if that's what they're going with. I'll be curious to see where that storyline goes. And I love the outcome of the Johnny, Sam, and Tori storyline. But honestly, that, like, the Johnny stuff in that was probably my least favorite, and I love Johnny. He might be my favorite character in the series, but yeah, some of the stuff he did, I was rolling my eyes at Johnny. He is really living in the past, and or I don't even know where he's living, but yeah, he's Johnny. Johnny gonna Johnny. What can we say? I loved seeing Devon Lee again. Eagle Fang's first and only female student and kind of a badass in her own right. Did I miss her in the background of a previous episode or something? I wonder if she was there all along. And finally, I love that little moment when Johnny and Daniel were holding the package, and it kind of felt like they were, like, you know, in a pinch and like really on equal terms. Like, I really believe that they've bonded, like, in that moment. Like, if you imagine that it really was a bomb, I never thought it was. But if you imagined it really was and they were kind of selling that that's what they thought, you know, it does really seem like they're good. Like, I don't imagine they're gonna ever be enemies again after I don't know, something about that moment. But yeah, guys, can't wait to hear the coverage. I told you I'd keep it short. I hope I did better. See you next week. Stay badass.
Yeah, they're Riggs and what's the other guy's name?
Murtaugh, isn't it?
Murtaugh. Yeah. One thing he said about there being a little Cobra Kai in Miyagi or something like that made me remember something in this episode where Daniel says about Tori, Tori's skills are undeniable, but is she balanced enough to commit to Miyagi-Do? And Johnny says, the girl's a beast. Miyagi himself would have ranked her even above you.
Yeah.
Guy wasn't afraid to knock a few skulls around, mine included.
I love that. He hasn't forgotten.
Yeah. And I think that was half kind of holding a grudge, but also admiration.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, in Johnny's mind. That was another thing, too, that wasn't in this episode, was the whole Miyagi story. When's that going to pop in, right? That's been on the back burner now. It's like, uh-oh.
I know. They got a lot of different things cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll come back.
Here's Mike's message for this week.
Hi, Jason, Rima, and Richard. Mike from Cincinnati back again. I watched Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 4, Underdogs, and I have to say, this week it felt like it was all about creating tension within the dojo. First off, 2 weeks in a row where Johnny has kind of disappointed me.
Uh-oh.
I know he means well and he's just trying to help, but man, just last week I was thinking he and Daniel were simpatico, but now I'm worried Johnny's going to muck it all up. He needs to be more upfront with Daniel, who has been way more level-headed this season dealing with all of Johnny and Chosen's bullshit. Speaking of which, where the hell was Chosen? Secondly, I was really sad to see how things played out between some of the students. You never want to see a relationship like Eli and Dimitri's go down like that. Interestingly, the first time around that the Binary Brothers had a falling out, Eli was the undisputable asshole, aggro asshole. And this time, while I don't think Eli was necessarily in the right for calling Dimitri annoying, Dimitri was definitely the one that made the dirty move here. And in this situation, I kind of feel like he's the asshole. Do you guys agree with that?
I do.
Yep.
And I really find the Lee, Kenny, Anthony triangle interesting. As much as I like Lee and think she's a badass that could have made the tournament on her own steam, mm-hmm. I hate seeing her cheat to do it. And poor Kenny, man. He's really had it rough with getting embarrassed in front of all of his classmates, and you just kind of want to see him get a win. Definitely seems like Kenny and Anthony are going to be coming to blows. So I know we have one more episode to go, but I have to say, I'm really impressed with the first four episodes so far. There are a lot of threads going on simultaneously, and most of them are really compelling. I guess this is what you can do with an extended 15-episode season and all of the groundwork laid by the first five. What other developments are we going to have in this last episode before we break until Thanksgiving? I'm curious to see. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it. Stay badass.
That should have been our just standard closing line, probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Mike's got such great calls, and the only thing I didn't agree with is about Johnny, because he went to Mike and didn't say, get Devin in. He said, give Devin a fair shot. And I think that was reasonable. Maybe he should have told Daniel he was going to do that. So you might have a point there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you got to stay badass.
That is just a given. Next episode, Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 5, Best of the Best. Maybe we're going to get the song.
Oh, yeah.
That would be so cool. Yeah.
We'll see. The listeners all know.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, one, I never remember which ones I bring up, but we have a podcast called The Revisited Podcast, hosted by Ben and Kristen. They started out covering every single episode of Lost, that old awesome show. And then they did Ted Lasso, and I think they only have two more episodes left of that. So they're wrapping up Ted Lasso right now. If you like that show, I recommend listening to them. And then they're going to move on to The Good Place, which I loved.
Oh, that's with Ted Danson.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first episode really, season.
Really,
yeah, that was
really
good.
Different. All right. That's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Use the bathroom. Call your mothers.